shepherds to us. And we're in chapter 6 of the book of Matthew, if you want to go there while we set it up. These are kind of practical things in these three chapters, Matthew 5 through 7, practical things we can do as believers, practical ways we can live. They're not up in the stratosphere. They're not too lofty of goals. When we have the Spirit of the Lord in us, when we have the Messiah in us, we are a new creation. Our old creation couldn't do this. We would mess it up time and again. Our new creation, having Yeshua inside of us, allows us to faithfully connect with the Lord and, in a way, keep the Torah that we couldn't do before. Because Jeremiah chapter 31, we've got it inside our hearts now through Yeshua. So let's talk about this very important thing we're going to discuss today in Matthew 6. And it's something we all struggle with. I struggle with it. I know you struggle with it because you're human. It is worry. Worry. So Matthew 6, 25 through 34 is the passage. We're not going to read all of it today, but we're going to go through different pieces of it and other scriptures too. Sometimes we worry a little bit about things in our lives. Sometimes we worry a lot. When I was in college before a big test, I was worrying a lot. When my first child was born, we were in the hospital, a couple of complications going on, I was worried a lot. There's times in our lives where we are worrying quite a bit, and there's times in our lives where things are going pretty well, and we're not worrying so much. We all struggle with this thing, this worry. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our families, our kids. If you're older and you have older kids, you worry about your kids. You worry about them when they're young, too. You worry about, we've had sickness in my house. It's just gone through. And whenever I have six kids, whenever you get sick in my house, you're passing it along to the next person. But be careful what you pass along, because it usually goes back and usually get it a second time. So I had one child that was sick, I think, three or four times in this last bout. So just keep praying for us. My little one, Shayna, she's been a little sick, but she's out of the woods, I hope, I think. But it's easy to worry when you have a sick child, isn't it? You don't know. You're worried, and if they're running a fever or something's wrong. So we worry about these things. We worry about money, don't we? We worry about our lack of money. We worry about the fact that we can't do things like we want to. I haven't taken a vacation in a couple of years, maybe, you say, or whatever. You worry about paying the bills sometimes. Yeshua had a lot of things to say about worry. We're going to talk about that today. Let's go to Matthew 6:25. I'm going to be reading today this verse from the New King James Version. There's a reason for that I'll get to in a minute. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? I picked that translation because it uses the word worry. But other translations, you may have one of them, doesn't say worry, does it? The King James Version says, take no thought. Instead of worry, it says, take no thought. So you've got to interject that and think about what that means. The ESV version, which I use a lot here when I preach, says, don't be anxious. And there are other translations that say maybe other things or variants of this. So, therefore, I say to you, do not take no thought about your life, what you're going to do or what's going to happen, or don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry about your life. Worry means to be anxious and to be troubled with cares. You're troubled with cares when you're worried. I've got this thing going on in my life, and I'm troubled by it. And you tend to go through it in your mind and repeat it in your mind and worry about it and stress about it. But what we end up doing a lot of times, have you ever done this, is you take something very small, a little molehill, and you make it this big mountain, right, of worry. And then usually what happens with me is the voice of reason in my life, my wife, says, why did you worry about that? Look, it's not a big deal. Oh, you're right, honey. A lot of times we make things worse than they are in our heads, don't we? And usually it's someone around us, a family member or a friend or somebody that we trust. They'll come up to us and say, it's not going to be that bad. And usually not really that bad. But we tend to blow this up and magnify it in our mind another reason why we shouldn't worry. The effects of worry. Let's talk about that for a minute. The effects of worry can be panic attacks. You've ever had a panic attack or know somebody that's prone to panic attacks? It's not a fun thing. Sleep problems. You ever had an issue with sleeping because you're worried about something coming up in your life or happening to you? Job performance. You ever worry? The effects of worry can also be poor job performance. Maybe you're not sleep. It compounds, doesn't it? You're not sleeping, therefore you're not fresh when you go to work, and you have a problem with work. You're slower than usual, or you're not thinking straight. You need like that 10th cup of coffee, right? Luckily, at my office, there's a Keurig machine right there, so it's ready to go whenever I have those stresses going on. So it can lead to poor job performance, and also, and many of us know this, it can lead to physical symptoms, or even worse. Long-term effects on our body and our mind from worrying over and over, from excessive worrying. We know that worry goes hand in hand with stress. When we're stressed, we don't like that we're stressed, and we tend to find things in our lives that rid us of the stress. Nobody likes to feel stressed or worried in their life. We as humans like to be comfortable. So whenever we get worried or stressed out, we tend to go to something or do something in our life to where we can unstress or get rid of it and find things to get rid of that stress. The problem is we often turn to harmful things to relieve that stress, or we can. Smoking, drinking, drugs, poor relationship choices, overeating. I mean, the list goes on and on. A lot of times it's a knee-jerk reaction. We don't think. We're just under stress. We just can't handle it. We're worried so much, we have to pacify that stress. And we turn to those things. It's like a little baby. You know, you got to put the pacifier when the baby gets upset, because you know how babies are. They can't handle it, and they're kind of freaked out and worried and stressed out in their own way. And what do? You put the pacifier in sometimes to calm them down. These things are like a pacifier for us. It's like a little bottle for us when we stress out. And unfortunately, we tend to turn to those bad things, those harmful things, in that fit of trying to relieve the stress. A lot of times we don't choose the good things. So we need to turn to the root cause today of why are we worrying? I mean, we know it's bad. We know we do it. We know the effects are bad. And we know that we tend to do things to stop the worrying, which are not good. So it's a bad thing all the way around, worry. I don't think anybody will disagree that worry is bad. Having stress in your life to that effect is bad. But what's the root cause of why we're worrying? Worry, and I thought about this, prayed over this. I like to break things down to like the most root base of it all, the most simple base. Worry is born out of two things in our life, fear and control. Fear and control. We fear things. We fear the future. We fear the unknown. Oh my gosh, I'm engaged to be married to somebody. What if I don't like the way they snore at night? You know, what if they have bad breath when I go to kiss them or whatever? I don't know what it is. You know, we worry, we stress. It's fear. Fear is a root cause of worrying. What's going to happen? Will I make the right decision? Am I going to choose the right person to get married to? Am I going to choose the right profession? Choose the right place to live? Will other people make the right decisions? So it's not just us. I've got to choose. I've got to do these things. We worry when other people are in charge of things, like our boss or a situation, where it's going to affect us. It's going to impact us. We're fearful about that. As we fear, we tend to control the situation, don't we? We tend to want to take control back because we fear something will go wrong, either with our own selves or somebody around us. So there's fear and there's control. We tend to control the situation where we kind of clench our fists, get very closed. We're not open when we're worrying, are we? We're kind of like going into like closed mode here. And we act like totally different people, don't we? You could be the most loving person in the world. You could be the most godly person in the world. But when you're under stress, watch out, right? Your spouse says, watch out when so-and-so is under stress. Because, man, they change. They can be a completely different person. And we can be. We can turn into somebody we don't like very much. We can be totally different people. But fear and control are the opposite reactions we need to have when we stress out and worry. When we fear and try to control the situation, what we're saying is basically, God, Lord, King of the universe, the one who created me and all the heavens of the earth, by the way, you, God, we don't have enough faith in you that you're going to handle this situation. So we're going to take it on ourselves and we're going to fear. We're going to try to control the situation and take back control of our lives. And what we're saying is that worry is bigger than God when we do that. And we all do that. So I'm not beating you guys up. I'm beating myself up too. We all do that together, don't we? So let's go to some scriptures. Psalm 34:4. It's time for some scriptures now, right? I laid it on you pretty heavy. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. It's not just the really easy fears that, you know, God can just do because he doesn't know my situation. It's all fears. He can deliver you from all your fears. Every single one of them. Deuteronomy 31:8. Book of Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. You know what I used to do as a new believer? I was in high school. I used to have a small, this was at my home in Florida as I was growing up. I had a small, like, what do you call it? Like a tack board, you know, like a cork board thing. And I would take index cards, and I was a new believer, and I would write down scriptures like that very scripture right there. I probably had that one. And I would pin it to my tack board. So when I would, and it was right by my door of my bedroom. So when I go in and out, I could remember things like that when I was stressed out. At one point, I think I had it full of those little boards. But, you know, and then I'd have to take them down and, you know, I had to. But Deuteronomy 31:8, you need to put that on the tack board of your life. You know what I'm trying to say? He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. This is scripture, folks. This isn't just me saying to you, it's going to be okay. You know, have you ever had somebody say to you, it's going to be okay, when you know it's not going to be okay? It's like, come on, I know it's not going to be okay. I know things are going to be pretty bad for a little while. That's reality, right, sometimes. This is from the Lord. We can trust when God says things because he doesn't lie. He doesn't lie to us. When we give in to worry, we're saying to God, I don't believe you. I don't believe you'll fix this. I don't believe you'll take care of me. The worry and the fear become what? They become an idol to us. They become a false idol. When I read these, the children, I love it. When I read the children's books to my kids, it always has this crazy body and this like head of this really ugly creature, right? And they're always bowing down to it. My kids are always like, what is that, Dad? I said, that's a bad idol. Well, you know what? We have bad idols in our lives, and we do bow down to them at times, unfortunately. And worry is a terrible idol that we have because we're saying anything that we put above the Lord is an idol. First commandment, have no other gods before me. Are you creating a god for yourself unknowingly by creating that worry and letting that worry fester? Look, we all worry. But when you worry, we're supposed to take those thoughts captive, right? Don't give credence to it. It's like sin. You have a thought. It's not necessarily sin, but you start acting on it, even in your mind, becomes sin very quickly, doesn't it? Don't act on those things. We have to recognize what's going on, be self-aware, and be able to say, that's not what I want to worship. I want to worship the one true God, not a false idol. I want to worship the one who says, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. But you say, you don't know, Rabbi. You don't know what I'm going through. There is a mountain in front of me, Rabbi. There's a mountain of health problems in front of me. There's a mountain of monetary problems. There's a mountain of family problems. For 20 years, my mother hasn't talked to me. Whatever it is. Whatever your problem is, it's a mountain for you. Remember, mountains are usually molehills that we make mountains. But even if it's a true mountain, there's scriptural that talks about this too. Listen to this mountain. Mark chapter 13. Let's go there. Verses 9 through 11. Mark chapter 13, 9 through 11. This is Yeshua's words to his disciples. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you'll be beaten in the synagogues. You'll be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate that you will what you will speak. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think any of us has gone up to rulers and councils and been beaten in any synagogues around here. Usually the synagogues in Savannah don't beat people, as far as I know. Especially this one doesn't. But you know, no matter, that was a huge mountain for the disciples. And look, we have persecution in this country too. But it's not like back then. It wasn't like 2,000 years ago where they were worried about being beaten in the synagogues for their beliefs. But what did the Lord say? He said, you know, even when you're dealing with something that big of a mountain, don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. I won't leave you or forsake you. So what we need to do is we need to replace that fear with something, and that's faith. It's easy to remember. They're both starting with F, right? Instead of fear, you put in faith. We need to replace control with what? Surrender. Surrender to the Lord. It's the most difficult thing to do when you're stressed out, because you want to, like I said, you want to clench your fists, you want to close up. You can close up to other people, but you know what? You need to open up to the Lord. That's the one person you really need to open up to. Replacing control with surrender, replacing fear with faith. The Lord knows what's best for you and I. Even when we're dealing with that mountain, the Lord knows what's best, and the Lord will take care of us. I want to show you a couple of scriptures now of some examples, good examples and bad examples. I've said this many times. I'll say it many times again. I love the fact that the Bible is full of real examples for us. It's not a book where it's like this standard that I could never meet, right? All these people that I could never be as perfect as them. We have some really bad characters in the Bible. We had some really good people too that did some really bad things. Let's talk about what happened to King Saul in 1 Samuel 28. Turn over there. This is that crazy chapter about Saul being fearful, being worried. He had a lot going on. He had a lot of mountains in his life at this point. He was afraid, and he had a crutch in his life to fix that worry in the past. Before we get to that scripture, to fix that worry, that crutch was the prophet Samuel. Prophet Samuel just died. He was without that crutch. Philistines were coming. He was in bad shape. And because of worry and fear, he does what? He does the unthinkable. He goes and consults with a medium, with a witch in Endor. And she brings up Samuel from the dead. Okay? Because Saul needed that pacifier. He needed that crutch again. Stressed out, worried. Remember what I said? You kind of act like a different person. This is not the King Saul that went out with the armies of Israel. This is not the King Saul in other scriptures that was for the Lord. He was a different man here because of what? Fear. Because of fear. Now Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. And God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, so that you may reveal to me what I should do." Now the reason God wasn't listening to Saul, that's a whole other message. Because Saul wasn't listening to God, basically. And over time, if you're not listening to God, the Lord's going to back away. He's going to be like, okay, you don't want me in your life, I'll get out of your life. And that's what happened with Saul. You know, we tend to do that, don't we, in our lives? And then when we walk, a lot of times people do this, and then when they want God, it's like, why won't you answer me, God? Well, you pushed me away, so-and-so. Saul pushed the Lord away. So he's upset, he's afraid, he's scared. Nobody's listening, God's not listening. He does what he has to do. He brings up that crutch, Samuel, and does this unthinkable thing. Now, Saul banished all of the mediums and witches out of Israel. Because it was wrong, it was ungodly, it was demonic. And he's resorting to this because of fear. The Bible is full of stories of ordinary people, listen to this, coming up against extraordinary situations. We are ordinary people, sometimes coming up under extraordinary situations too. If you will experience extraordinary problems, mountains, situations, it's when. It's not if, it's when. We cannot labor under the false assumption that our life is going to be great here in America. We have to be ready and know, especially as believers, there's going to be opposition, spiritual opposition coming up against us. There's going to be difficult things. It's not an if, it's a when. And the real question we have to answer today is, how are we going to handle it when we come up against a mountain? We come up against an impossible situation like Saul. Are we going to react the way Saul did? Are we going to take everything we've known about the Lord, all what we've built with the Lord, and throw it aside and act like different people because of fear and do all the things that were unthinkable and that are ungodly and wrong? Are we going to go to those crutches that are not good for us? Are we going to turn to things that are not godly? Or are we going to do the opposite thing? It's a choice everybody has. I want you to turn to the book of Numbers now. Numbers chapter 13, completely different situation. This is the children of Israel when they're in the wilderness. And let's start with Numbers chapter 13, 1 and 2. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader from among them." So 12 tribes, 12 men went out. They were coming up to the land that God had promised them. It was a promise from God. They knew they were supposed to go in that land. Moses sent 12 spies to spy it out. What's it like? Check it out for us. It's kind of the prudent thing to do before we just, open up the gates and say, "Hey, we're home." You want to see what's in there because people are living in there. Numbers 13, 31 through 32. Let's read on. "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we see in it are men of great stature.'" Now, I don't doubt there was strong people in the land, but this is another example of the mountain when it's really a molehill. Why is it a molehill? The only reason it's really a molehill is because God has said, "That is your land. You are going to have that land." It's a molehill. If God says you're going to have something, there's a promise of something, you need to believe it. Even when there's a giant named Goliath in front of you, or when there's these big giants or whatever they were in the land, there is nothing in this world that's stronger, that's bigger, that's more powerful than God. Greater is he that's in you, greater than he that is in the world. No matter what the world throws at us, God is better, God is bigger, God is stronger. So 10 of the spies were filled with what? Fear, right? They had seen the giants in the land, these giants in the land. But let's go to Numbers chapter 14 now, verses 6 through 8. There's still two other men, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. That's the ancient Israelite way of saying, "I'm under a lot of stress, I got problems here," and it was just like, something is wrong, people are going against the Lord, I'm going to tear my clothes. It's a physical symbol of the torment you're feeling inside, usually by what someone is doing. A lot of prophets would rend their garments, they would tear their clothes. Symbolically, Jewish people at funerals, you have a little piece of cloth and you'd rip it. It's symbolic of the pain, the anguish you're feeling from the loss of a loved one. Same concept. They tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us to this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." The other 10 spies were filled with fear. Joshua and Caleb were filled with faith. The point about faith is you can't see things and you have to have faith to know that God's going to do something. It wasn't just like, oh, there's some wimpy people in the land. We're going to just wipe them out real quick. It'd be real easy. They weren't saying that. They had faith. Faith is knowing that God has promised something or said something. And even though there's something in front of you that's a mountain, faith says, I choose to believe that God's going to get that mountain out of the way. I'm not going to try to do it myself. And I'm not going to fear and try to control the situation. Joshua and Caleb did not try to control the situation. They didn't care how big the giants were because they had faith in their God to fix the situation, to remove the barriers, to fulfill his promises. It's a faith thing in God and what he can do. So as we close today, worry and fear, it can be crippling, can it? Think of a situation in your life, maybe a long time ago, maybe you've kind of bested that whole fear and worry thing, or maybe you're struggling with it now. I struggle with fear and worry sometimes. It can take you over and you don't even realize what's happening. You know, you have to turn around and say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm starting to stress about this. This isn't of the Lord. You've got to take that, and you know what? And that can become a God very, very quickly in our lives if we're not careful. You can be a great believer. You can be on fire for the Lord. You can be doing great things in the synagogue. You could be building the kingdom of God every day. And you could then fear. And then it's like, boom, you're a different person. You cannot let fear become a God. We cannot let fear become a God. And Yeshua is trying to tell us in this sermon that he's giving here, Matthew 5 through 7, we are not to let that worry cripple us. He's saying, and let's read Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Let's read a little bit on in that passage. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. That means the non-believers. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We, you know, Greeks would seek after knowledge and understanding and rational thinking. Our culture, while it is a Judeo-Christian culture, is still very Greek-minded in a lot of ways. We still struggle with the supernatural as a culture. We do as Americans. We tend to say, there's a problem, I'm going to fix it. Or if there's a big problem here, I'm going to go around it. I'm not going to deal with it because rationally, it's an issue. I better not deal with that. Or I fear it or I worry it. So we tend to have this Greek methodology in thinking when we do these things. But we need to have that Hebrew methodology, that Jewish mindset that says, God, you are greater than the worry in my life. You're greater than this mountain. You're greater than whatever I'm coming up against. But you know what Yeshua says? Seek first his kingdom. Don't even worry about this mountain. I got it covered. Seek me, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek my face. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest, is what he says. He will topple the mountains for us. He will make a way. He'll part the waters. I'm going to use all these biblical analogies. He'll part all the waters for you. You know, when Gideon came and he had all these men and he was going to fight in the book of Judges, God said, you got too many people, too many men. They were already outnumbered already. He took what? Just a few men. And they didn't even have weapons. This is God. Get out of the way when God's going to work. Because all we need to be doing is seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What do we talk about? What's righteousness? Faith in God, even when we don't see it. Abraham believed the Lord when he told him, you're going to have a kid named Isaac, and he's going to become the father of all these people. Abraham believed it, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Faith. Have faith. Replace faith with fear. One more scripture before we end today. Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious. Remember we said anxious is worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. I love the fact that there is peace of God that surpasses all Greek thinking and understanding right, will guard your hearts and your minds. Let God do the work. You just get, be ready. Just be ready. Be anxious of nothing, but pray. Give supplication with thanksgiving. Give those requests to God, but get out of the way because He is going to work. Are you struggling today with something in your life that's this big mountain? Maybe it's a molehill that you created as a mountain. Maybe it's a true mountain. Maybe there are really big guys in that land. And God told you, I'm going to do this for you. And you're like, I don't know. It just seems like so impossible, God. Maybe you really didn't want that. You know, we rationalize all these things in our head. Maybe you really didn't want me to do that thing because it's so hard. Or, you know, it's not happening when I want it to happen. We have the other problem we have in our culture is the fast food mentality. I want it now and I want it hot, right? I want it fresh and hot and I want it now. You know, we have a million places to go to get those things. Instant gratification, 300 channels to choose from. You know, you put it in, the internet. It used to be when I was a kid, and I walked 5 miles in the snow, and I'm just kidding. When I was a kid, and I'm not that old, it was rotary phones, and it was the encyclopedia I had to go to. Now I just click Google. Google does it for me. You know, if there's things in our lives that we're worried about, that we're stressing about, we need to think twice about that. We need to say, God, You're bigger than the worry. God, You're bigger than whatever is looming over me. You know, a lot of times God allows these things to happen to increase our faith. Think of Job. He had Job go through terrible things. But you know what? God had it at the beginning. No matter how terrible it is of what you're going through, we need to replace the fear with faith. We need to replace the control with surrender. And these things will be added to you, but seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Let's pray together. Lord God, we just thank You that You are a great and mighty and revered God who bestows loving kindness and our master of all things. Father, we know You're the master of our lives right now. And Lord, even though we want to fear, even then we want to stress now and again, Lord, neutralize it for us, Lord God. Help us to just replace that fear with faith. Help us to know that You're in control. If we have to tack things up all around our house as reminders, we need to do that. If we need to put them on our dashboards of our car or at work on our computer screen, whatever we have to do, Lord, help us to remember and not forget. Judaism is all about remembering, putting up stones to remember, putting up things to jog our memory, Lord. Help us to remember Your faithfulness. We know, Lord God, You're never going to leave us and You're never going to forsake us and You're going to get us through this issue. So I pray right now for everybody, whatever they're going through, Lord God, that You would just help them to realize that You have got this, that You're in charge, You're in command, and You can just take this thing out. But what we need to do is not worry about that. We need to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. And we need to get with You, God, and You're going to handle the rest. We thank You, God, for Your word. We thank You for Your encouragement. And Lord, we just trust in You today. Increase our faith. Increase our trust, Lord. We pray that today. And we thank You. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.